Good evening, everyone. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, conducted every week at 9 o'clock on 14679, the repeater of the Bergen County Amateur Radio Association, probably the Bergen County Amateur Repeater Association, I'm sorry. BCFMA, Bergen County FM Association. There we go. We'll get it right yet. Three times the charm. And we actually ask our members to consider supporting the Bergen County FM Association's repeaters on this frequency, 444-100 and also 443-100. And you need not be a member of any club to participate in this net. Purpose of the technical net is to engage in any question related to amateur radio. Amateur radio by its nature is a technical hobby, so therefore all questions are viewed as technical by definition. So there's no question too smart, too silly, too, if you will, innocuous. Any question is welcome for the net, and we welcome all stations, again, member or not of the organization, or organizations, if you will, to participate. At this time, I would like any station to log in if their call sign begins with K, and if they do, please to check in with their call sign, their name, and whether or not they have a question or comment. At this point, stations with Kilo at the beginning of their call, please call K2BAR.
This is K2ZO. Just glad to be here after what happened to me last week.
Hey, Jim Blastomatic, he's back. Okay, very good. Good to hear you. K2ZO. K2BAR. Next.
KB2LCA, Gary.
Good evening, Gary. KB2LCA. Any questions or comments?
Yes, I have a question, and also, how is my signal right now?
You're about 90% quieting and just a little leg fry, but you seem to be solid. So I've noted you have a question. Okay, next station with a kilo, please call K2BAR. Call sign, name, and whether you have a question or comment.
KC2AWX, the name is Harvey in beautiful Burlon, New Jersey. And it's nice to see everyone on the net. And I do have a question.
Good evening, Harvey. Very good. KC2AWX acknowledged. K2BAR, next. Okay, next stations with November at the beginning of their call. Please call K2BAR.
Yeah, S2K, Jim. No traffic.
Good evening, Jim, and S2K acknowledged. Anybody else with a November call?
NJ1W, Dave, no questions.
Okay, Dave, very good. NJ1W acknowledged. Next November station, please call K2BAR.
N3CRT, no questions.
Okay, Charlie, N3CRT, K2BAR. I guess the question you might have is, how do I get this piece of steel in my yard vertical and with antennas on it? But that's another story. Very good. Next station with a November call. Please call K2BAR. Okay, stations beginning with a whiskey. Whiskey stations at this time. K2BAR.
W4DSA. My name is Daniel, obviously. Evening, Gordon. Evening, Charlie. And the rest of the net. No questions tonight, but I'll be here listening and hopefully can help out.
Okay, Daniel, W4DSA acknowledged. Thank you very much. Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR.
W2JEK, Don, no questions.
Don, very good. W2JEK acknowledged. Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR.
SWA2FIV, Mobile, Bob, no questions.
Good evening, Bob. Good to hear you. WA2FIV. Acknowledged. K2BAR. Next station.
W2AKR. Repeater.
Okay, at this time, any Alpha stations, any call signs beginning with Alpha, please call K2BAR. Okay, finally, any other stations for the net, any late check-ins for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, please call K2BAR. Okie doke. Well, we have two stations with questions on the docket. So we're going to start with Gary, KB2LCA. Your question, sir. This is K2BAR.
Yes, hi everyone in the group. This is Gary, KB2LCA. My question, Gordon. I'm building a J-pole out of 450-ohm ladder line. And, well, simply enough, a lot of articles have been published on it. But I'm reading one article now, and they attach it to a SO259, you know, they did all the connections and everything. But the guy left one ground connection like you would use on the chassis, and he wants to bring that to ground. So he's going to ground that section. I've never seen that before. Do you have any comments on it?
You don't have to ground it there. It doesn't matter. If you want a DC ground for lightning protection, for instance, all you need do is below the T where the, if you will, you know, I'm thinking of this in typing terms, so just work with me, Gary. You know, the, first of all, the feed point, you know, you can bring either way. Let's start there. It doesn't matter which way you twist the coax on the feed line. The center conductor can go to the long element or the short element or vice versa. It doesn't matter. Having said that, anything below where the elbow and the T are, at the bottom, if you will, where the two conductors come together, is fair game for grounding. I haven't seen any performance differences in any measurements I've done, and I've tried everything from literally sitting the dang thing on a plate to having radials at that point, which make no sense, by the way, but been done, to mounting it on a ground spike, any number of things, and it all seems to be the same as whether or not it's on a 10-foot pole. It doesn't seem to much matter. So that's my advice. Over.
Okay. Yeah. This is just the first article that I've seen on the, you know, on the grounding of a J-pole. So, okay. Well, I was just wondering about that. He has a ballum connected to it, and which is after the 259, which is interesting. So, okay, thank you very much, and back to that, KB2L here.
Okay, before we move on, does any other station wish to comment on this?
NS2K.
NS2K, Jim, go.
I just can't imagine the need for a ballon on a J-pole, but maybe this is something that I haven't seen before. as far as I can tell, the antenna is entirely within the two elements of the J-pole, you know, obvious. And anything, you know, below the joining point is structural, not radiative, as far as I know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you want, Gary, you can email me the, and also to Jim, the, at our AOL addresses, the URL that you have, and we'll be happy to take a quick look at it. If you do it during the net, we'll try to come back with a, what do you call it? We'll have something to figure out, as it were. Anyway, in any case, what else can I tell you? Well, that's pretty much it. If you want to email us the URLs for the article, we'll be happy to look at it. Okay, on that note, Harvey, do you have a question? Well, let me first, Gary, you have any follow-ups before we go on to Harvey?
No, I'll email it to you now, and I did mean to say 239, not 259.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
That's enough. Maybe 2 hours.
Okay, very fine. Alrighty. On that note, Harvey, your question, KC2AWX from K2BAR.
KC2AWX here. Yeah. On Monday night, I hear you on 10 meters, but you come in very soft and weak. How much power are you using, and What kind of antenna?
Harvey, good question. And I can probably explain why it is that we're not particularly strong in your direction. You're kind of off to the side, about maybe 30 degrees or so, off of a very horizontal leg of my dipole. My western leg is very horizontal, and you're about 30 degrees off of the broadside of it. I mean, off of the line of it. So, you know, that's not exactly a high gain point. So we're cross-polarized, and you're not exactly in a major lobe. So I think that could be why. The other thing is, and we can test this on another occasion if you would like, directly on 10 meters, well, let's say keeping 2 meters in the background or something. My guess is I also don't use this headset. I use a desk mic, and I kind of, like, sit back from it. I don't quite hit it as hard as I am, let's say, when I use my headset and things like that. You don't hear my breathing as much. I mean, you know, I've been taking mic use lessons from K2ZO, grin. So it kind of causes my DX posture, where you can sit there and hear every snort and chortle, you know, and kind of removes that. The consequence of that also is that you don't have the every last bit of gain and every little bit of edgy distortion coming through, not to mention clutter sounds from the background. That could be it.
Question?
Don?
Yes, W2JEK with a question. I'm not familiar with the antenna that Harvey's running. I presume your dipole was horizontally polarized. Is he running a vertical over?
Yeah, refresh me if I'm wrong, Harvey, but you're running a Cushcraft 10-meter Ringo, right?
I have it up, but it's not connected, and I'm not using it. I'm using a homemade 10-meter dipole that I took out of the league's antenna book.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Well, then maybe it's just not oriented, and, you know, to me as well. Who knows? But we can run tests if you'd like after the net.
Another question for Harvey, Gordon.
Go ahead.
So tomorrow morning, have a blood test and all that. Going to have to go to bed early. But I was just curious. Also, how much power are you running?
I'm running 100 watts on 10 meters.
Oh, versus my 5 watts. All right, I got the picture. And all. Thank you. And Jim comes in this beaming over here, knocks my socks off with his 200 watts. KC2AWX.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, one of the things you could also do, good luck in the, first of all, the blood test tomorrow. Second thing is... the antennas may not be properly oriented. We can run a test perhaps over the weekend if you'd like. Buttonhole me and I'll see what I can do. What else can I suggest? There was one other thing. Oh, yes, there was one other comment. Don wanted to make a comment. W2JEK, KTBAR.
Yeah, this is W2JEK. Yeah, I'm assuming that the dipole you have, Harvey, is horizontally polarized. Am I correct on that? Over.
Yes, sir, it is. It's about 10 feet off the ground. That's because the only tree that I have on my property is only 10 feet. And yeah, that's my height. And it seems to be working. And with 5 watts, I can hear everyone, and I hope everyone can hear me on Monday nights.
Yeah. Okay, Harvey, this is W2JEK. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure there wasn't a cross-polarization problem, because I ran into a situation on 6 meters with a fellow down in Staten Island who could hardly hear me, and I could hardly hear him. I was using a horizontal dipole, and he had a vertical. And then I know that my 40-meter dipole, which has some slope to it, It's not truly horizontal. He hooked that up, and because it has some vertical polarization, we were it brought his signal way up out of the noise. We were able to complete our contact. So I know that cross polarization, plus the fact that you might be on a the wrong lobe of one of Gordon's antennas, might be a big part of the problem. Anyway, back to net W2JEK.
Harvey, any more?
Well, that wasn't my problem, you know. Thank you very much. KC2AWX.
Very good. Okay, well, at this time, keep removing my foot from the foot pedal here. At this time, if any other questions might be in abundance, we'd be happy to entertain them. If not, we have a few topics to entertain the net this evening. Not as long as the one from several weeks ago, but we have a few interesting topics that might be interesting to quiz some of the attendees of the net on behalf of another member of the net. So, also a few things to report that recent activities. While we're looking for other check-ins and questions, I also want to point out that the Bergen Amateur Radio Association's monthly meeting is this Sunday, yes, the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, at the Red Cross Building on Godwin Avenue in Ridgewood, New Jersey. The meeting is at 7:45, and we have a wonderful program of WA2LXE's trip to Yellowstone and places in that area of the world. And we also have, people gathering there on Sunday night, starting about 7, and there's coffee, and there's usually some sort of crumb cakey, yummy stuff there. So it's a wonderful thing. They even make decaf for those who might be worried about staying up too late or want tea. I think we have that as well. So the friendship and fellowship is always pleasant, and you're all welcome to come and participate. If you need directions to the meeting, I can direct you to Barra website, which is www.BARA.org. That's .org, Barra.org. And contact information can be had there. Also, most of the call signs here on this net have ARRL addresses, so you can just shoot a mail to any one of the call signs of the net at ARRL.net, and I'm sure someone will shoot you a mail back if you need, some reassurance about the meeting and how to get there, etc. So at this time, if there are more questions, we'll entertain questions for the net. This is K2BAR.
KC2IGJ.
KC2IGJ. John, how are you? What's your question?
Gordon, I wanted to just have a question, but also report on last week. I followed up on Don and Tony's suggestions on my little watt meter problem. And I double-checked that the load resistor is 53 ohms, which is, okay, but it's made out of a collection of 4 or 5 different 2-watt devices. That was the best I could get, 53 ohms. And I used Don's suggestion of calculating from the voltage I read off of that. I was using RMS. I was saying RMS, but it's actually a peak reading you're taking off of this simple diode detector. So I used his formula, V squared, which would be peak voltage, V squared over 2R, using 106 ohms. And I got reasonable numbers, still a little high when my radio is set to 6 watts, right on the money when it's at 2, and a little bit under when it's at half watt. So it's sort of like the line is slightly skewed, but it's reasonable. And then an ad array, hold on a second. An article in QSC some time ago suggested 10% is pretty good for that kind of a meter. So everything looked in line there, and I'm satisfied with that. My question is, if I was doing this kind of a measurement with FM versus a CW, continuous carrier wave key down, would I expect that the voltage, now of course in the FM I'm not modulating, I'm assuming I'm just keying the thing. Should I expect that the voltage would be approximately the same for an FM mode versus carrier wave, and that's unmodulated FM?
That is correct. They're both full carrier modes, so that's fine.
Okay, well, that's that kind of wraps it up. So I just wanted to, I did my little lab experiment, and I'm happy again.
Okay. Very fine. Very, very fine. Well, on that note, good. Any other questions from that, please call K2BAR. Okay, any comments for the net for a couple of things I may throw in?
N3CRT.
Go for it, Charlie, N3CRT, K2BAR.
We're all lucky. My wife woke me up for the net. I was kind of snoozing. She said, you're going to miss your thing, you're going to miss your thing. But don't forget, everybody, if you're interested, this Saturday morning, September 1st, at around 11:37 UTC, plus or minus 20 minutes, we're going to have a nice little meteor shower with a rate between 100 and 1,000 meteors per hour. So if it's your thing, you might want to, you know, go outside and look, but that's no fun when you can turn on your radio and you can listen to meteor scatter signals and maybe even a smooth enough single sideband coming through, or, you know, maybe FM, I don't know, but the good place to listen in for sideband and CW and all that other stuff is 144.200 if you've got a sideband mode. So there you go, N3CRT back to the net.
Okay, could you repeat the time frame for that, please?
Okay, it's September 1st at 11:37 UTC, and that's plus or minus 20 minutes, so it gives you a 40-minute window kind of centered on the peak, I guess. And information is also available on ARRL.org.
Very fine. Okay, I took that down. No problem. Do you know what shower that is?
It's ORIGIDS, A-U-R-I-G-I-D-S. It's Auriga, actually, the constellation Auriga, or meteors radiating from the constellation Auriga. So I guess the name varies from that. N3CRT.
Good.
NJ1W.
Okay, stand by, Dave. ORIGIDS, so it's A-U-R-G-I-D-S?
A-U-R-I-G-I-D-S.
Yeah, what you said. Okay, very good. Thank you. That's excellent. That'll be very pretty, and that'll be, 11:37 in UTC means about 7:30 in the morning, which is very civil, actually. Welcome to summer. Okay, NJ1W, your net. This is K2BAR.
Hey, answered my question. I was going to say, it's going to be daylight then, isn't it? It's going to be kind of hard to see. Might be great for propagation, but I don't think it's going to be good for watching meteors.
Negative 2 to plus 3 magnitude.
So you'll actually have, there'll be enough to actually see it in daylight?
I believe so, and a good place to kind of get in information on this would be Heavens Above. I think it's heavens-above.net or .com, but they give all sorts of information on iridium flares. You can look up what different magnitudes mean, and I think that they'll be able to see some during the day.
Very cool. Anything more from you, Dave?
No, I won't see it. I had trouble seeing the sun, so okay. Thanks for the information, though. This is NJ1W, back to net.
Well, those of you who are 10-meter ops, 6-meter ops, 2-meter ops, maybe even 220, give that some serious concern. I think that'd be excellent. Okay. Well, we've had some interesting things. Recently, I had the opportunity to remount my laptop in a new place in the console of my truck. And, you know, while the laptop leaves, when I leave it, the mount is there, and it provides like a Lazy Susan kind of mount with a suitable amount of friction, and you can pivot it to the passenger side or the driver's side as needed. But one of the things about my particular laptop is it has an internal GPS, and of course, if you've seen my van, It's not like I drive a plastic truck. It has a metal roof. It has metalized windows. It has the flight deck up on top, which is like a post-World War I aircraft carrier deck on a cruiser chassis, or a cruiser hull, if you will. So it's a real mess from an RF viewpoint, signals from the GPS into the vehicle. Although amazingly enough, it does seem to work pretty well. Well, in discussing this with Charlie, we realized that a amplified GPS antenna, basically, I was going to use a passive antenna, two passive antennas, a passive repeater from the roof to the car, but were able to identify a source of a modest source, meaning like two of these GPS antennas that Garmin and other companies make with the built-in preamplifier. And I want to report that it not only improves the quality of signals coming in, but also, you know, doubles at least the number of satellites that my internal GPS, I'll say, in quotes, hears. And basically all we have is a 1575 megahertz dipole made out of a flared end of a piece of coax with a BNC connector on one end, and the other end goes to an amplified antenna, which is up topside, and I just leave the dumb antenna in the reasonable proximity, it's a few inches away from my GPS, internally mounted to the computer, and it works great. It really does. And so number one, I want to thank Charlie for that little bit of extra boost to the concept, but more importantly, that if you have GPS antenna issues, amplify GPS antennas where they run on 5 volts or something, and it works really well. Charlie, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I do have a question. Maybe change my mind to have a question for the net. What we got set up initially was a dipole with a piece of coax. So, you know, looking around at different kind of GPS antenna receiving antennas, I kind of found this helical antenna, and this is on, I forget the guy's call sign. I could go back to the front page, but it makes noise. I believe it's a left-hand circularly polarized antenna. Now, if we're gonna replace Gordon's dipole with an antenna maybe hanging from the ceiling to kind of shoot some of the signal down onto the laptop, do we need to reverse the polarization, or is, you know, maybe some guys, if anybody knows with satellites, is the antenna on the satellite a left-hand antenna, and is my receiving antenna a left-hand antenna, or is my receiving antenna a left hand and the satellite is a right hand? So that's a question I have.
Anybody want to answer that one?
Yeah, I got a comment. It's KB2LCA.
Go ahead, Gary.
If the operator is facing north and he's picking up talking to a station in the east, it's a right-handed antenna. If it's going out west, and it's left-handed.
Charlie, you want to take that?
No, I don't know if that necessarily applies. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. So we can build one of both and see which one works better.
Yeah, we're trying to avoid doing that because we have a limited number of pieces of UT-141, which is 0.141-inch hardline, if you will, very small stuff. And, you know, we can make the antenna out of, like a piece of number 12 wire. It's no big deal. I mean, that can be done very easily to spec, and it'll work very well. The trick is we'd like the twist to be in the right direction. So that's the dilemma. So clearly, we're probably, unless someone on the net knows, we're going to have to go look it up ourselves, Charlie.
Okay, well, I figure at least first build it the way he built it. And then I would say, with the other piece of our coax, we build it the opposite way. And if it doesn't work as good, just unsolder the pieces and reverse it. And that way we have two working antennas. You can always undo what you've done.
Yeah, because of the nature of the antenna, actually, we can just reverse the wires, you know, the twist of the wires and re-solder them. It's not a big problem.
Okay.
Very fine. In fact, the feed points can remain constant if we're careful. We set them up correctly. So we'll see. Alrighty. The other thing is, Charlie now is in possession of a 35-foot plus God knows what mast, two-section crank-up tower. And so we're going to be getting him, should we say, on the air a little bit better. He's got a good rotator. He's got a pair of rotators, so he's good. He's got an Azel rotator. He's got, I think, a CD-44 or CD-45. So he's in Fat City, so we're going to get him rocking and rolling, and that should be very exciting in the near future. Get another VHF op on the air and antennaed up and ready to go for January. We're all going to be operating from home anyway. So that would be very, very good. And also get him ready for the satellites, which he wants to go play with. So very, very cool stuff. So if people have some ideas about raising and lowering a tilt-over, we would love to have the input, because what it doesn't have is a pipe with a pulley and a winch to crank it into the vertical position. It has one that cranks up the upper section of the steel tower, so it's very heavy. So we're going to have to address that. And if people have welding resources or spare house brackets for, like, Roan towers or things like them, we'd be interested in knowing about them, because this was given to him and he needs to finish that up. So if people have parts, we're looking for parts.
Comment.
Go ahead, Jim, NS2K.
Yeah, NS2K. Okay, I just found an article. They're talking about GPS receivers. They're saying most GPS antennas and most LNS band antennas that receive satellite signals are right-hand circular. Well, that's only mostly true, but but GPS receive side would be right-hand. So you want to transmit back. Yeah, you want to keep the same polarization on your retransmit side, unfortunately. So you'd have coupling. Anyway, what I did is I did a Google search on GPS antenna polarization, and it came up with several wonderful articles on building some very sophisticated antennas, if anybody wants to do that kind of search. NS2K.
Thank you very much. Very much. Okay. So, if the receive antenna is by definition right-hand circular, that means that the transmit antenna has to be left-hand circular, correct?
W2AKR repeater.
Yes, but you're transmitting again to another right-hand receiver, so both the receive and transmit have to be right-hand, if I'm not mistaken. Which is going to be a problem if you have much of any gain anywhere. It would distinctly limit the amount of gain you get. And the quality, at least on the initial receive of the polarization, is quite important. You want to minimize very strongly the left-hand content.
You have me confused. So right transmits to right, left transmits to left, or is it transmit right, receive left, and vice versa?
I think if you're going antenna to antenna, it has to be the same rotation. In normal satellite service, you transmit right and receive left, but you're talking back and forth to the same satellite. In this case, you're not doing that. You're receiving a remote signal and then rebroadcasting that same signal to a third device, which is the same polarization.
I gotcha. And when viewed from the back of the feed point, facing out toward the intended direction, clockwise is right hand and anti-clockwise is left hand?
You're talking to someone who hasn't been able to walk a straight line in 2 weeks here. But, I guess, I don't know. I have to think about that.
All right, we'll have to figure that, you know, maybe, maybe we need to, like, you know, look, find a search engine, how to determine, you know, left-hand circular polarization or how to determine right-hand circular polarization, something like that. Well, we'll go do that. Alrighty. So, when in doubt, we're building right-hand circular polarization. We just don't know what that means right now, unless we just follow the picture, as Charlie suggests. The purpose of this idea, by the way, is to just take this little, let me point out here, 6 centimeter high antenna. That's 6 centimeters high, guys. It's like 3 inches, maybe, on a good day. And put it up, you know, let's say on the visor, or between, you know, like behind the mirror. You know, my truck, there's like, you know, 5 inches to the roof, between my mirror and the headliner. But basically stick back there the retransmitting antenna, so that way the GPS in the, you know, on the console below will not only pick up that signal, but maybe if there's another GPS or whatever inside the vehicle, they'll all benefit from having the retransmitted signal from the top of the roof rack re-radiated inside the vehicle. Okay. Charlie, would you like to add anything?
I think we just try it both ways and see which works best. Not worrying about, I mean, we already have a plan for the type of antenna we want, and we know the concept works. Now we just see which version of the intended antenna works best.
Okay, very fine. That's excellent, and we will do just that. Alrighty, so we've had, again, a busy week of fun and games around here, and just for reference, in the past week, Charlie and I have determined that we're about 700 feet apart in our homes. We're two different towns. We're about 700 feet apart. And that last night, he and Katie determined that they can walk from our house to, or their house to our house and back. So that's very cool. We have a bit of a lump of a hill between us, which is probably going to inhibit Wi-Fi activity, but that won't inhibit our ability to try. Also, Charlie's up on slightly, well, yeah, he's on slightly higher ground than mine, probably, so we might actually be able to bang a signal, you know, on 2.3 or 2.4 gigs, 1296, pardon me, between us, so that should be exciting, too. So my goal, by the way, Charlie, is to see if we can punch a Wi-Fi signal between us. That would be very cool, because then we can do, the amateur extensions, if you will, to the Wi-Fi protocol using amateur licensing rules instead of normal stuff. And we get that, then we'll have some other things going we could amuse the community with, and I'm sure we can start extending maybe over to Don's house or Tony's house. You never know. Anyway, and then up and down the valley. Maybe we can bridge all the way to W2MSK's house, where he's got all sorts of internet resources. So anyway, on that note, any other questions, comments for the net, the Neely check-ins, etc., please call K2BAR.
Late check-in, KO2 okay, no question.
Okay, KO2 okay, very good, Bennett. No question. Anybody else? K2BAR.
K2AMI, late check-in, but listening, but no questions.
Okay, I got two stations. Tony, K2AMI, no questions. Gotcha. And I want to say this W2BCR, but there's, like, I'm just hinting that it might be her. I'm not real sure. Let's see. Let's stand by for W2BCR. Yeah, there's something decidedly wrong with your audio. It is horrendously weak. Like, if I didn't know who you were and your vocal characteristics, I wouldn't be able to have identified you. I was not actually able to copy you at all. Yeah, you probably are all but screaming into the microphone. We're getting a real loud beep when you unkey, but your audio is just horrendously low.
K2BAU, this is Beta. I just disconnected the external mic.
Oh, Q5 copy. You're good.
Oh, dear. You know, I spilled some Diet Coke on my external mic this afternoon. Oh, dear.
Let's see. Let me check my technical reference on such matters. Yep, that's what it says. Don't do that.
Okay, great. I just wanted to check in and tell you that I'm listening. I've been here for about half an hour, but of course I can never check in at 9 o'clock because I'm always late.
You know, there's a country music song called Waiting on a Woman. It's a very sweet song. Anyway, very good. If you'd like to hear it sometimes, if you know the song, I'll be happy to find you a copy of it. I'm sure I probably have it kicking around here somewhere. All right, very good. Anybody else for the net, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, N2SKG, no question.
2SKG, I think it's Bob. Very good. Very good. Just confirm your name.
No problem. It's Ron. Ron from Woodcliff Lake, N2SKG.
I'm sorry, Ron. Very good. Okay, good hearing you. Any other stations for the net, please call K2BAR.
KB2LCA, Gary, KB2LCA. Did you get my email, Gordon and Jim?
I'm having trouble getting my internet up for some bizarre reason, but I'm working on it. And I've been working on it since we got on the net here. I don't know what's going on. I gotta figure it out. I'm trying to juggle the net, and transmissions have been reasonably short tonight, so. dear me. It's not been a good night for being able to listen to other people's dissertations and getting stuff done for the net. So anyway, I'm trying to reconnect to the net right now and see if I can get this done and see if I got your email. But as of now, no. But it's not your fault. Jim Joyce sent a note.
Also, I have to comment, my comment on that antenna was a poorly delivered joke. Nobody got it. I said if the operator was facing north, so, okay, back to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gary, I'm not so sure I caught that. I'm sorry. Alrighty, I'll take a look at that, and I'm sure Jim will as well. We might even respond. If not, at the net next week, we might even respond at the Barra meeting on Sunday night. That might be a useful thing. Alrighty. Any other questions for that? Please call K2BAR.
W2IT. SL, name is David.
Okay, Paul, I got you. And who's David? I missed your call, sir.
Call sign is K2. DSL.
Ah, no doubt, a vanity call. K2DSL, do you have a question?
No, not at this time, just enjoying listening.
Very good. David, where are you from, if I may ask?
I am in Waldwick. I am on a Kenwood handheld hooked up to my car antenna, which happens to be in the house at the moment.
Okay, very fine. Well, I just took down NN2T's tower a couple of weeks ago and just hauled it off to my house and gave another tower, which is a taller tower, to Charlie, and I'm going to take this one to the scout camp instead. I've had the one I just gave to Charlie is the one I was going to use, but it would probably involve too many people raising eyebrows in this particular scout camp where I want to put it, so this will solve that. But anyway, I was over in Waldwick this afternoon picking it up. If you ever need any antenna parts and things like that, please call me or let us know. We'll be happy to not only help you through my treasure trove of stuff, but maybe through the treasure troves of others as well. We'll have plenty of stuff. We want you to get you out of the car and into a more comfortable ham shack to operate in. But David, welcome aboard. W2IP, Paul, do you have a question?
No, Gordon, I just have a little info on that circular polarization that I looked up in the satellite handbook that I have here. If you'd like, I could share some information with you. It might shed some light on some things.
Carry on, my friend. Go for it.
All right. Well, for reference purposes, any references to RHCP will mean right-hand circular polarization, and LHCP will mean left-hand circular polarization. If you observe the electric field rotating clockwise, the wave is considered right-hand circularly polarized, RHCP. If the electric field appears to be rotating counterclockwise, then the field is left-hand circularly polarized. Okay, this is just something that I'm taking out of the book here. When a circularly polarized wave is reflected off an object, a metal screen, a ground, or a house, the sense of the polarization is changed. An RHCP signal aimed at the moon returns as an LHCP signal, and vice versa. So the polarity does change.
Okay, so when reflected off of a passive reflector, the polarization inverts. And for satellites that, you know, use cross-polarization to provide some of the isolation, it inverts or reverses. But for transmit to receive, straight line, it's the same. You're either using right hand on both sides or left hand on both sides. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it only makes reference to an RHCP signal being reflected off an object, so I would have to believe that's true, Gordon.
Okay, so reversing the polarization or the orientation of the rotation is a property of either an active effort or a reflective effort, but the straight line, I think, is, you know, implicit to be, should we say, common polarization on each end is what would be expected. Okay, very fine. Thank you, Paul. It's very, very thoughtful. I think we've solved that mystery. I think the answer, Charles, is right-hand circular polarization for the GPS world at 15.75 God knows what megahertz. Anyway, any other questions, comments, or confusions for the Nets, please call K2BAR. Okie doke. Well, this has been a really good net. I wanted to see if anyone has any other topics they just one last time. If there's anything that they want to make an announcement about, maybe Tony, you want to talk about the meeting on Sunday night real quick?
Yes, definitely. We'll have a meeting at the Red Cross on Sunday night. We try to get the doors open about 7 p.m. and the meeting starts between 7:30 and 7:45, generally 7:45. We will have a video presentation by Phil Barber. I'm not quite sure of the exact content of the presentation, but he did, on his last trip, make an effort to cover the northwest portion of the United States, photograph a great number of pictures, things like the Badlands and up in the Wyoming, Utah area, and I don't know all the details, but it should be a very interesting show if you have a chance to get there. We always do our program first, followed by the Barra meeting second. There will be lots of little things to discuss at the Barra meeting where we will need input. And of course, the following week, the week of the 8th and 9th, is the VHF contest. We really want people to commit themselves to that contest to make sure we'll have enough hands helpful to show up on Saturday morning and take down on Sunday night. Early. Back to Nick with any questions.
Okie doke. That's good. Any questions for Tony? Okay, gentlemen, or lady and gentlemen, I want to point out that before we secure, and we will be securing momentarily, that this is the largest check-in list we've had on the net. This is an all-time high of 17 check-ins, which is most excellent. We had a good batch of questions, and we're just inside of an hour, which is, given some of the recent history, that's probably a good thing every so often to have a shorter net. But I want to thank everybody for coming in tonight. And again, the Barra meeting is 7:45 at the Red Cross in Ridgewood on Godwin Avenue. And if you get on the repeater just a little before 7, you certainly can get some talk in. People tend to be very much in arrival mode starting around 7 and for a little chat, etc. There's usually a Barra box or two, which is kind of like a mystery box of stuff you can bid on. There's usually a 50-50. There's all sorts of fun and games. And as I said, there's coffee and tea and decaf and all sorts of things. So enjoy and be well. And my son is home. And that's a good thing. And just remember, we're a week away from the VHF contest. So QRZ contest from K2BAR. We'll be turning the repeater back to normal amateur use. Thank you very much for a great night, everybody. K2BAR will secure at this time return the repeaters to normal amateur use. And this is W2TTT. Standing by.